contending earnestly for the faith. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and we are very thankful at Abounding Grace Radio Ministries to bring these radio broadcasts to you. And so do write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. And any correspondence, any support will be greatly appreciated and used to continue to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Well, we're continuing today in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And remember the context here. Remember what's happened here. Things are dark in Israel's days. Remember verse 1. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. God was not speaking. And we looked at this, all of the divine displeasure because Israel had turned from the Lord, because of the apostasy that had run rampant among the people and among the priests and the leaders. And the Lord was displeased and he shut it down. He had to first take out Eli's entire household, uproot that whole arm of the priesthood so that he could send his prophet. And what we have then here is the Lord raising up Samuel. The Lord is raising up Samuel to deliver his word. And so remember what happens. Samuel is the boy and he's in the temple and he hears the Lord call to him. And so he rises and he goes. Eli is lying in his place. Samuel's lying in his, in the house of the Lord. And here the Lord called to Samuel. So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down." And when he went, he lay down. Now it happened a second time. The Lord called again in verse 6, and the Lord is calling him. The Lord is summoning Samuel to be his prophet, and Samuel again goes into Eli, and Eli tells him, lie down. He didn't call. But then we unpacked yesterday this very crucial verse. In the middle of the second call, the problem was, verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Now we're learning so much about how we come to know the Lord right out of this chapter. How do we come to know the Lord? You know, how do we come to have our minds open to the Lord? How are we saved? Well, you know, this was constantly what Jesus was teaching. Remember with Nicodemus, he emphasized to Nicodemus that you have to be born again. In other words, the principle of life has to be planted in your heart so that you believe the gospel. The Holy Spirit has to take your dead heart. And what does he have to do? He has to inject life into that heart. He has to make your spiritual heart start beating again, because all of us after the fall are dead in trespasses and sins. How does he do that? How does he give us new life? How does he make us born again? How does he regenerate the heart? How does he circumcise the heart and make us alive? How about this? This is 1 Peter chapter 1. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Here it is. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. How does he save you, dear listener? Thinking about that? He just said it's by the word of truth, by the gospel preached. Samuel didn't know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. There was no widespread revelation. Doesn't this just tell you how important then the preaching of the word is? I've said this before, but everything I've tried to recover, everything I've tried to do on Abounding Grace, in all these years I've been doing this now, is to recover among Christians. This has been a recovery a MASH recovery unit for Christians to recover understanding what the ministry of the Christian church is. We've thrown it out the door. We don't understand that anything special takes place when we gather. And when the minister faithfully, sent by the Lord, exposits the word of God, you know what God is doing? He's taking that word, as that is honored, because his word, remember, he has magnified, the Psalms say, his word above his name. That's how we know God, through his word. As his word is preached, the Holy Spirit takes that word to hearts that don't know him. And he applies that word to the heart so that people are born again. This is the power of God to save those who believe. This is the gospel. And that's why it's so important that we do this. Even Samuel in his day had to have the word of the Lord open and circumcise his heart to make him know the Lord is God. Verse 7 tells us, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. That's why he didn't know the Lord. The word has to be revealed to your mind and your heart. And I guess that's why I say again, people who say I don't need the church, or I stay away from the church, or I reject the church, I don't need to be there, I say to you, then you don't know the Lord. You do not yet know the Lord in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, because a true Christian longs to taste that word because it is the word of truth that has saved him. God has to speak. And not just that, but he has to speak in such a way that the word is revealed to bring about a true knowledge of him. That's why you have pastors. You can't get that anywhere else. You just can't. I know everyone shivers when people say that today, but you can't go up and have an ecstatic experience of God on a mountaintop. You're going to corrupt your view of God because it's not in conformity to the word. There's no knowledge. There's no salvation apart from the word of God. And the word of God has to come into our hearts and bring us a knowledge of our sin and misery and a knowledge of our need for a savior. You can't discern that in nature. You discern that only from God's special revelation of the word. Two kinds of revelation. There's a revelation of general revelation and special revelation. And, you know, even throughout the New Testament, it makes it very clear. You know, we should be suspect of anyone who claims ecstatic experiences of tongues and dreams and visions as something divorced from the word of God. God has told us that in these last days, he used to speak that way throughout the Old Testament. But in these last days, he's spoken to us through his son, who is the word. That's why you have the Bible. And the single great evidence that you have been born again by the word of truth is your love for that truth. You know, it's so interesting to me that people today are so interested in everything else other than the word of God. The most crucial element of worship is to attentively sit and hear that word. I've always said, I know there's many things we could be doing. You know, I could be a good entertainer, I think. I could tell the best jokes, I think. I could be the funniest guy, I think. That's not what God's called me to do. God's called me to bring and preach the word of God and to bring that and bear it upon the conscience of the people as the Holy Spirit applies it so that they become saved. That's exactly what happened to me. Listen, in my own personal life, personal testimony time, it wasn't me doing my own thing. It was me sitting under a minister who was so rightly dividing the word of truth that the Holy Spirit opened my mind. All I wanted to do was write down every word that I was hearing because I knew he was expositing God's word. How important is the word of God to you? How much do you really take for granted the word of God? Remember the problem in this text. Now, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was a famine because people had turned away from that word. Salvation has occurred in your life when there's an opening of your mind to the word of God so that a deep love for that word is given place there. So Jesus was constantly saying in his day, you must have a place for my word in your heart. Most assuredly, John 5, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. You have to hear the word, don't you? You have to know the word. So this is where we are. This is what's happened here. The third time, the Lord calls again. And Samuel rises and he goes to Eli. And he asks Eli if Eli had called. And we read in verse 8 that Eli perceived that the Lord was calling him. So he says to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Did you notice the difference? What we find when God was raising up a true prophet at his call, the prophet had to also stand in the presence of the Lord. That's what's said here. The Lord came and stood. Three things had to happen when God was raising up a true prophet. The prophet had to be called, the prophet had to stand in God's counsel, and the prophet had to speak the word of the Lord. Now remember the background here. Remember what's going on here. Let me read a little bit today of Jeremiah chapter 23 to close and to show you the problem in Israel and to show you the need for God to raise up a prophet. This is Jeremiah 23. Think of our day, dear listener. Who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? Who has perceived and heard his word? Let me back up. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. Sounds like the prosperity movement today. Sounds like everything. God is love. God does not judge. And everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own hearts, they say, no evil shall come on you. You can live however you want. That's what the false prophet said. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word and has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoke to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, they would have turned from their evil way and from their evil doings. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? We're going to see tomorrow. God raises up Samuel to speak the word as Samuel stood in the counsel of the Lord. We need this today. Our lands, dear listener, our churches are full of false teachers, and they have not stood in God's counsel. They are not speaking his word. They are speaking dreams and visions and dictates of their own hearts, telling people that everything's great. God will not judge. You can live any way you want. That is out of the pit of hell. We need bold preachers who will speak the word, preach the word. 2 Timothy 4, in season and out of season, because the time has come when people are not enduring sound doctrine. We need that word so that we might know Jesus Christ in the demonstration of spirit and of power. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a ministry, a listener-supported ministry, and we need both your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.